Deuteronomy 6, 4 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. I pray that we come here this morning to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. May we discover what that is. May we search that out. And in those areas that we are falling short, I pray that you call us out. We love you, God. Today we glorify you. Amen. Last week, we talked about Ephesians 2:10, and God has prepared a good work for you. And he's personally prepared that personally for you. And I hope that you were able to face that head on this week. I hope that you had opportunities to do what God has designed for you. And if not, you have tomorrow. This is what's amazing about God. He doesn't give up on you. He understands it's a hard work to get us to be what he wants us to be, right? And what I have been I have not used the video about the analogy of the sheep jumping into the ditch and getting saved and going back. And my wife has been giving me a hard time that I don't show the video. And this morning, I thought, I'm not going to show it. I'm just kidding. Go ahead and show that video, just for context. This is us, I feel like, sometimes. Not the one pulling them out. This is us. He's free. He's joyful. He's saved. Yoink. Right? This is our walk with God sometimes, is it not? He frees us and we go right back to doing what we shouldn't be doing. But God loves us, right? Amen? Do you feel that? You know that Jesus was here on this planet to show us the way, the truth, and the way to live, right? Right? And he sacrificed his life for us. And as a gift for that, we have received this amazing thing called grace. All right? We have received this amazing thing called grace. Now, I'm going to show you a different side of grace this morning, and I want us not to be too, don't be hurt, don't be frustrated. Work through this with me, all right? I ask you to do this little marathon with me of discovering what grace is. And first off, I want to ask you a quick question, and I want to preface this, especially for married couples. Don't answer if you want to have a good day, all right? Have you ever known somebody or been around somebody and their presence just shows you everything wrong about you? Don't do it, right? Like whatever they say, like they can be the best person ever, and because you stand next to them, it highlights all the things wrong about you, right? Anybody? Don't point. Just like if you think, yeah, I've lived that, I know that. I want you to know, first and foremost, my wife standing next to me at every interview that I've ever had, anytime I've left the church, they have let me know the person that they're going to miss is my wife. Does it hurt a little? Don't. All right? A little. And I've had people tell me, I want you to know, you won this interview, you got this job because of your wife. She's just amazing, she answered well, and you're just lucky. So, and I agree, but boy, does it bother me every time I'm next to her that she's just this wonderful person, and it accentuates all the negative about me. Anybody else? About my wife? That's weird. Right? But we sometimes have those personalities. You might even be able to like think about somebody in your life that they always outperformed you, always did something that just accentuated that you just fell short. And it comes along with this wonderful word called jealousy, right? Right? Anybody ever experienced jealousy? Oh, okay, we got a few. All right, good deal. Some of the others are you're just liars. It's okay. All right. We live in that world. But we've all probably experienced the world of jealousy, unless you're perfect, okay? But we've lived in that world, and we deal with it, and it's easy to think about. I know for me, especially, I've got a few pastors that I follow, and I think highly about how they preach. I think highly about how they study. I think highly about how they lead a church. And I just go, man, I wish I was gifted with that. I wish I had those. I wish I had that presence on the stage. I wish I wouldn't mess up words. I wish I wasn't famous with one youth group for saying a horrible word on stage. All right? I wish those things. But I am who I am, and Ephesians 2:10 also reassures me that my Maker has created me. Do you understand that? That He personally created you. No matter how you view yourself, no matter how you compare yourself to others, I want you to know God has created you. And He doesn't make mistakes. All right? And He's got plans for you. And last week I also talked about those plans. I know growing up I thought, man, those plans, I'm excited for those plans. I'm excited for, because you think in terms of like God has got great things for me, right? It says it right there. What we don't understand from what great from God is to us is those great things can be really, really difficult. It's a great job. It's a great effort. It's a great whatever that He has put you before, and you might feel like you're going through it right now. I want you to know God has personally made you to go through it right now, whatever it is, that He hasn't made a mistake for that either. Whatever struggle you're feeling, God is right there going through it with you, right? And He's created you for this moment. It's an awesome thing. And I honestly believe this too, that in order to get through those great things, you need the Holy Spirit. You can't do it alone. You weren't built to do this alone. That God wants to do this journey with you. And the only way that you have courage to do it, and not anxiety filled, guess what? The more you trust the Holy Spirit, that anxiety wipes out, and you can think you can do all things are possible through Him. That becomes alive and real. Understand? The moments that I believe Him are the moments in my life I have stepped out, and it is only through Him that I was able to do that. Okay? So if you're going through it this morning, I want you to know God's got you. He's got a plan. He's created you for this moment. You can do it with God. All right? Now, let me go back to grace. Now, grace is one of those things that God has gifted us with. And I've been accused that I preach too much on grace. I'm always going to preach grace. I don't care. All right? But I want you to know the other side of grace will show you what you lack, where you're wrong, what you did wrong. It's not friendly sometimes. It is a reflection. When you accept God's grace, it is a reflection that you needed God's grace because you fell short. You understand that? And I'm going to start us off in Romans this morning. And this is Paul talking to a bunch of Gentiles, kind of about the Jews. And the Jews at that time are very righteous people, right? And it's so harsh in this moment, all right? It's Romans 3:10 through 24 if you want to follow along. And I'm going to be reading a lot, and I'll probably stumble, so just stumble with me, okay? There is no one righteous. Ha! Not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They all together have become worthless. There is no one who does good. Not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues are practiced deceit. Happy morning. Right? Cheerful words. I want you to know what he's seeing here, what he's expressing here is true grace. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like grace. This is where grace originates. This is where grace is needed, because we all have fallen short. No one. And let me tell you, he's talking about the Jews. He's talking about the righteous people at this time. He's talking about the people that think, you know, they never smell. They are good. They follow every rule in the book. And they are like, when they look at people this way. Their nose up, they're looking down, they're letting them know, yeah, I'm better than you. They're the ones that are calculating how much is given in the pot and letting everybody know, this is how much I've given. They have practiced the art of prayer. And I think I look back at this moment of like how they practice prayer and how it has ruined people thinking, I'm not a good prayer. Like, I don't want to be up here and pray. I don't want to be in front of people and pray because I'm not, I don't have that skill set. I want you to know, first and foremost, it's not a skill set. It's a conversation with God. There's no talent with it. If you can speak, if you can have a conversation, if you can just think about God, if you can be with God, guess what? You can have a prayer life. And nobody comes up here and leads us in prayer and fails. If you're talking to God, that's all that matters. He doesn't want anybody to be an orator of Him. He doesn't need you to be the lip service of who He is because He sent His Son to show Him who He is. You understand that? What He wants is a genuine relationship with you and having a genuine conversation with you. That's prayer. But this time, during this time, the church was not like that. It is about us, all right? So you get this beginning of this Romans, and it just keeps going. The poison of vipers on their lips. The mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. This is the righteous people he's talking about. Their feet are swift to shed blood, ruin the misery and mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. It's kind of, again, happy Sunday morning, right? It would be really interesting if Paul was standing up here and saying this directly to you this morning. Like, none of you speak kind words. None of you are full of happy words. Like, whatever you say is horrible stuff. Have a good morning. God be with you. Right? What Paul is doing here, again, is showing the need for grace. All right? So that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world will be held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law of the prophets testify. I want to talk about the law really quick, all right? I want to talk about the law, and this is found in Deuteronomy 6:5, all right? And this is Moses, and right before this chapter, you get the Ten Commandments. This is the basis of the law that God gives in the Old Testament, all right? Now, this alone, right here, I want you to carry on for the rest of the week. I want it to be something that you hold on to. I want it to be something that is written on your heart, written on your life, written around you, that you can repeat it daily because it's real. And this is what the law of God is about right here. The love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. This is what the commandments point to. This is why we have the law. Now, like many people in organizations I'm not going to get political, but we love to make new laws upon new laws upon new things, right? New policies. Anybody love doing policies? Did you see who rose their hand? We have policies at home. If I don't follow them, there's punishments. Pray for me. All right? Policies are these things that, like, you come across a situation and you're like, oh, we've never experienced that before. Now we need contingency plans for that. Right? If you've ever been on a board, Half the board is dealing with policies. So we protect ourselves. They're not fun to go through. They might be for you, right? But they're not fun necessarily to go through. I want you to know the people of God receive the Ten Commandments. Ten. Can you say ten with me? Ten. One more time. Ten. That's not that many, is it? You could probably memorize 10 things, right? How many? We got 10 fingers. You could go through it and be like, okay, these are the 10 commandments. I'll have them written in on my hands. Like, I can cheat that way, which is probably against the commandments, right? You know how many, what they did with the 10 commandments? 618. Yeah, right? That's what I have written down, right? 1,618 laws that they came up with. Fun. And I want you to know, like, it wasn't like they discovered these and like, oh, we'll put them back in the back of the book and, you know, someday somebody might read that or we'll have an issue and we can, okay, this is what this law says and we'll do it. They had to memorize those. Those law became their spiritual guidelines to their life. And if they were able to accomplish all 618 of those laws and abided by them, guess what they were? They were righteous before God. And they gained their understanding by what they didn't do and what they did do on a constant basis that was stemmed from 10 commandments that turned into 618 laws. Fun? It shows you what we do with stuff, right? We have a tendency to make something that was a gift from God and then turn it into putting hell on other people. Right? And I want you to know, like, there's a quote. Hell is paved with good intentions. And I would tell you, this is the message that you're getting from Paul in Romans, that these people tried to abide by the law of God and earn their way into heaven, and they were paving their way to hell. Okay? And I want you to know this first and foremost this morning. No one in here is more righteous in God's eyes than anybody else. I don't care how far along in your faith journey you've been, if you've been doing this for 90 years, if you've been doing this for a month, we are all on the same level when it comes to how much God loves us and how much we have earned His love. Because we can't earn it. It's given freely. All right? So there is no ranking when it comes to this. Now the law, guess what the law ended up doing? It separated the good and those who are not good. And just like how I think we have adapted with the idea that prayer is something that only certain individuals are gifted with and that they sound really good, guess what? I think the same thing goes for the law, that it has separated us from the community and the society in which we are called to. It has put a wall up, and I will tell you, like, if I go out of here, do you know, I think this is an easy one for us to understand, that our community and our society would probably know what we're against. Am I right? They could probably easily, if I said I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, they go, okay, I bet you're against this. Like, they could probably do that, right? And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I would wonder if they know what we're for. Right? See, what the law has done is put this avenue in which we can be able to analyze what is good and bad about people and who deserves God and who doesn't deserve God. That's what the law has done and it was never intended. Again, let's go back. What is the law intended for? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That was what the law was intended for. To draw us closer to God. To pinpoint the areas in our lives that needed to be fixed. And then we just took it and decided, everybody needs, you can only take certain amount of steps on a Sabbath. You know, we don't want to ruin it. And the moment that you take a half step more, whoo, you better repent. And they enjoyed that aspect of being the rulers of other people of what they did wrong. And I think we've inherited that in some way where we look at our society and it's easy to go, they're going to hell. Right? You know, you could probably pinpoint a whole community. You could probably pinpoint a lot of people in your life. You could probably walk by somebody and go, man, if only they knew who Jesus was, they would act better. I want you to know, I'm saying this by pointing three fingers at myself this morning, because I have had moments in my life where I have acted up and I go, huh, did I show what Christ has done in my life today? But I've seen other pastors and how they've treated waitresses and wait staff, and I go, holy cow, man, I hope they don't know that they're a pastor. It's embarrassing. It's one of those moments you go, you know, you want to make up tenfold for them, right? And we forget who is on the other side of that coin when we interact with them. What did Jesus say when you have fed me when I was hungry, you clothed me when I was naked, you took care of me when I was imprisoned? Jesus said these things. And then to his disciples, and they're like, what do you mean? He said, to the least of these you have done unto me. You see, it matters how we treat the other person, because the other person sees the grace that has been treated in us. And if we want to embrace the grace of God, we must confront the things that are not full of grace. The things in our lives that don't point to God. Because what grace does is the mirror and the reflection of God showing us the areas in our life that needs to be changed and worked on. It's freely given, but it's not easy to receive. See, grace is easy to give this message that no matter what, it is given freely to us, that we are forgiven, and there is nothing that will stand in front of that forgiveness if we just accept it and we ask for it and we say yes to it, right? But what that forgiveness says when we ask for it is a reflection that we need it. It's an understanding that we are not perfect, that there's areas in our lives that needs to be worked on all the time. There's no achieving this moment. Right? Like you might think, I wake up in the morning, I'm good, I talk to God, I didn't cuss out my coworker today, maybe in my head I'm good, but I kept it internal, praise God. Like, you have those moments maybe, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's things every day we deal with that is a heart issue that God wants to relieve us from. Because if we were perfect, we wouldn't need to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. We could do it just partly, because we're good. Right? It takes effort. And that effort comes from the grace and understanding that we are not perfect. We can look at it further on in James. The law separates us. Sorry. Let me read this. This is out of Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This opens up our eyes of how to look at other people and how we see them and how we understand them and know that through Christ, we are all one with Him. And when we approach others through this, we start, even if they don't know who Jesus is, we understand that Jesus loves them, right? Like, we have the hidden message. We have the undertow of, man, if only they knew how much Jesus has loved them. You see, during this time of this season, we need to really reflect on that even more, because we are leading up to Easter. Easter is the celebration of the empty tomb. It is the risen body of Jesus Christ. He has defeated death, right? And we understand that now we can live in that, right? And it is through the grace that we are no longer bound by this sin, this anger, this frustration, this disappointment of who we are. We know that we are created by God. And when we're created by God, we have more to give because of what God has given us. All right? Now, before that, what happened? What led to the tomb? It was the cross. It was the crucifixion. And guess what? This world does not understand the crucifixion. It does not understand that all their wrongs, everything that is done wrong, everything that is punishable by our spirits was paid for, was taken upon. And if you know John 3:16, for God so loved, let's stop there. So God so loved you, He sent His Son to die on a cross for you. And when you think about you, it's not even just you, it's the one that's unrighteous before you. It's the one that we intentionally kind of look down upon. The ones that we judge. Jesus died for them. And when we start to understand that, I think we start to understand that when we receive God's grace. Grace is given freely, but it's hard to receive. It's another thing that we have taught that is easy, like we think it's easy, but the reality is this: it is a confrontation of the areas in our life that we have to change. And one of those things is how we look at people that are not us. You see, the law separated us. It made us a little comfortable. It made us a little home by ourselves. It made us so we can separate from us, from the world, and look different and be different and go, I've got it, you don't, ha ha. God's law was never intended for that. It was to free us, to send us, give us the courage to go out into a world that needs His love, His grace, to show them there's a better way to life. Right? It should be encouraging us, giving us the strength. Again, what is the command? What is the big command? Is to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and it is not to just sit in these seats and be comfortable. It's not to come up with any excuse, because guess what? If you have an excuse, what you're saying is great. His grace is not sufficient. Is His grace sufficient? Is it? Do we live like it? Do we believe it? Do we carry it? Do we allow it to change us? Do we allow it to mold us? Do we allow it to be the instigator of going, there needs to be something that I do different from this point on, because it's invading me and telling me this thing can't continue. God so loved me that He sent His Son to die for me, so I don't just remain and be the same person, but I look different, I act different, I am different because of grace that is within me. You see, what happens is it's like this little thing, like it comes in and it burrows into your heart and it starts to make you actually have a heartbeat. It starts to make you realize, okay, this isn't right. I've got to confront, I got to go ask for forgiveness. I got to approach this area of my life and be different and confess. It doesn't just reside and go, thank you, I'm good, I'm so happy, I'm not free, I'm free from the punishment. Because that's how we would like it, right? I know as a kid, I would do something wrong and I instantly run up to my mom and I, please forgive me, and like beg and have the puppy eyes and go, and like I could win over my mom pretty easy. She was a sucker for me. Being the only child, it was easy. Being the only other one in the house, it was easy to get away with stuff. And you're like, I didn't mean it, I'm sorry. And if I really wanted, it just stinks being an only child and not having a dad. Right? So, oh, my poor kid. Did I learn anything from that moment? Yeah, how to get away with stuff. That's not how grace works. You don't get to abuse grace. You do, but you really don't. When grace resides there, it won't let you abuse it. If you look further on in Romans, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. And right here, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need to hold on to that sometimes. Of how we live and how we look and how we approach people. We all have our issues. We all have our problems. Nobody is perfect. And it's easy to use that excuse just for ourselves. I'm not perfect. You can't hold it against me. I'm going to tell you right now, you're right. But the same as goes for your neighbor. Right? What I love, just like John 3:16, John 3:17, you need to read too. Just after this one, you need to read, all right? Romans 3:24, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to understand his grace. As we draw closer to Jesus, we draw closer to understanding grace. And in those two, we start, if we're squeezed, we ooze grace. We love people unconditionally. And it's not because of us. It's because of what God is doing here today. What he's doing in your heart, what he is doing with your life. The more we seek God, the more we accept what Jesus has done, the more that we believe that my sins have paid the price on that cross this morning, the more I'm able to give grace to others. The more I'm able to understand that I am not perfect, and neither is this world. And God is still working on me and still working on you. And the moment our doors open, we're open to a world that needs that same grace that you have received this morning. This morning, this is what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping this week that you understand what grace is and how he has called you and how he keeps moving you and how it is a reflection not of just a free gift, but it is a reflection of what the life that you need to change in your world. That when grace is received, it's not just received and you give it this little look like, thank you for not holding this against me. It's received with understanding of the cost that was given with it. When I receive grace, I understand it came at a cost. And it changes me for eternity. And in that, I become a graceful person because of what Jesus is doing here this morning. So in that, when we follow the Ten Commandments, when we understand the law, when we understand what God has done and understand it through the terms of how Jesus lived his life and how he died on a cross, and we understand it that it was freely given, and that we understand the law through grace, we understand this so much more, that we are to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. The more that we have grace, we understand this. And we want to be out. We cannot help but be out in a world that needs it. We don't avoid it anymore. We run to it. Because God's got to work for you. And he's put that in there. And if you received his grace, you can't help but be excited to give that grace to others. Right? This week, repeat this with me. Read this. Put it on your life. Put it on your heart. Put it on your way to work. Listen to it. Be the first thing you wake up to and the last thing you read, that you are here to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And ask yourselves, am I doing that today? And what's hindering me from it? And if you find things that are hindering you from loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, guess what? You seek God's grace in those moments. You ask him to whittle out that thing that is hindering you from it. You go, God, use me, change me, get that horrible thought on my head. Let me have the ambition to do what you have created me to do today. And now if I doubt that, give me grace and change me. Right? Are you ready, church? Are you ready to face what God has in store with you, to face it head on with his grace? Are you ready to reflect on the areas in your life, if you receive his grace, that he wants to change? Like, it could be like a Paul moment where he's saying to you, what comes out of your mouth matters. What you put in your ears matters. How you act matters. How you treat others matters. Because it's a reflection of how much I love you. Are you ready for that? Stand with me. And we're going to read Deuteronomy 6:5 this morning together. All right? I'm not good with this. I always jump the gun. But let's do it together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Church, let this be the message that you hear this week. Go in peace.